You know, I wish I was talking to you guys under better circumstances. It's sad that when you're like, I need a resident expert in this field, that they're like, I know exactly who to call. You know what I mean? Because that's been my life for the last 10 years now. It's crazy when you think about it. But my whole scenario played out publicly in 2010. And it's still something till this day that affects every aspect of my life.
I'm glad you started with that. That was actually going to be my first question, but I'll follow up. Like, are we, when we do this in the media, are we like victimizing you and others in your situation when we're like, hey, time to call Jen and have her on to talk about this?
You know what, though? It's a double-edged sword, because on one end, I could see it as reopening wounds, but at this point, honestly, I look at it more as being an advocate. I feel like if I don't tell my story, then other people will mangle my story beyond recognition into something that it isn't. And so by controlling the narrative and explaining to people what actually happened, what I went through, and how situations like this can be avoided in the future, like, that's the way to take the power back from the situation. So I don't really see it as being re-victimized. I feel, but that's also because, look, I've been through countless hours of media training to be able to endure a Good Morning America interview that I'm pretty sure if we all watched back today, we would just sit there and cringe, because it is the most accusatory, victim-shaming interview I've ever seen. And it's so funny because I lived it and I didn't even remember it that way, because all my interactions for that 8 months that I was going through it, they were all like that. So it's like almost I was conditioned to think that that line of questioning was normal and it was okay.
So, I mean, as you said, when these things happen, you know, you're going to be doing interviews and talking about it. But when the story comes out last night, you know, what are your thoughts? You see the story, you read it, you process the information. Like, where does your mind go?
It was a really weird night, because obviously you guys know my husband Cody. He was friends with Jared Porter. Yeah. And so it's really put our household in an interesting predicament, because we truly can see both sides of it, where it's like, wow, he feels betrayed and upset about what his friend did, but he also has watched his wife live this for the last 5 years. And so it's one of those moments where we just kind of sat there last night and we were like, wow, this is really both sides of it. And Cody's like, I don't know what to feel. And I said, and that's okay. I said, you're allowed to feel betrayed by your friend. But every person that you ever spoke to about Jared Porter all said the same thing. He was going to come in and he was going to change the culture. And everything that I had heard about him, even from Cody, was like, he's going to be so good for the culture. He is such a, you know, he's the guy to turn this around for the Mets. I'm really excited for the Mets. And this happens. And I just can't help but look at it and go, well, yeah, that makes perfect sense. I wonder how many of those people that said he was going to change the culture were also men. And I wonder also, it's like, you hear about this all the time where they're like, oh, he was such a nice guy. I had no idea he was like that, or that this could ever be the case. And it's like, yeah, you don't realize that. What is a great person and an amazing advocate and friend and, you know, champion for some people can be another person's absolute nightmare. And that is exactly what happened to this poor woman.
So this woman had seen Porter face to face. Your case was totally different, right? Like, it wasn't like you had some meeting with or, you know, some encounter with Brett Favre. Like, his stuff just came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah, I never met Brett Favre, and that's something that people don't get. For the longest time, people wanted to create this crazy narrative that I was his mistress. But in the reality of it all, I was basically just cyberbullied. I was cyberbullied, and I was made to feel threatened about my position with the organization. It was one of those things where it was made very clear that my job was not as important as his. And, you know, that was a pretty factual statement, because I ended up not being brought back.